Last year, a 28-year-old Seattle man named Joel Reuter stepped onto the balcony of his Capitol Hill condo, started waving a gun. He eventually fired it. He was shot and killed by Seattle police. Reuter was bipolar, and he wasn't taking his medication. In the months leading up to his death, Reuter's parents were concerned for his safety. They wanted to get him treatment at a mental hospital. But under Washington state law, they couldn't force him to. His parents are now pushing for a change in our state law. A bill introduced this week in Olympia would allow people to petition a court to have a family member committed against their will. As the law stands now, family members have no recourse if county officials decline to have someone committed. We should point out that the vast majority of mentally ill people are never violent. But Sandy Andow thinks it should be easier to involuntarily commit mentally ill people who do show signs of violence against themselves or others. She works on public policy issues for NAMI, Washington, the National Alliance of Mental Illness.
In our state, to be involuntarily committed, a person has to be examined and talk with a designated mental health professional. And that mental health professional has to determine for emergency involuntary detention that they are a danger to themselves or others, or that they are gravely disabled.
The proposed bill would allow people to petition the court to have a family member committed. Why is this an important step?
Well, I think any family member who's had to deal with these issues has come across the frustration of trying to convince the designated mental health professionals of what it is that they're seeing and how they, what they think needs to happen with their loved one. And so this is a natural outgrowth of that wish to try to get people help when they need help. I can tell you from personal experience, I have a family member who should have been hospitalized and whom the DMHP told me, yes, he probably is dangerous, but the danger, he hasn't hurt anybody for several days, and he doesn't have any plans to do that, and so he's not eligible to be put in involuntarily on an emergency detention.
How do you manage that with that person?
Well, I was instructed that I should get a restraining order, which is a very, very hard thing to do when you love this person and want to see them be well. I did not do that. I chose instead to keep my doors locked, and I now live behind locked doors 24/7. And that way, when he comes to visit me, I can let him in and know that he's there, and he's not going to get in without me knowing. And then I have some sort of control over what goes on.
Sandy Andow does run the Public Policy Committee for the Washington's chapter of the National Alliance on Mental Illness. Well, let's talk about the civil liberties issues here. What concerns do you have should a mentally ill adult be committed against their will?
I think if we're going to talk about restricting liberty, one of the things that we have to remember is that for someone who is really delusional and who is not able to handle what is going on in their daily life in a safe manner, I think really that person who's driven by delusions is not really free.
Do you think there's the will to take on the increased costs this might mean for the county or state?
The system itself is full to the brim right now, and they are looking around. Inpatient hospital costs are very high, but the fact that we don't put money to them does not mean that our people go away, and it does not mean the need goes away, and it doesn't mean the cost goes away, because right now we're already spending the money. We're spending it in our jails, in our prisons, in our social services, in our emergency rooms and hospitals. We're spending it in pure human misery right now because we're not providing early intervention for people.
Sandy, the mental health system in this country was dismantled and has never been reestablished to the promised level that was made when the dismantling occurred. We've never seen the expansion of community mental health clinics and mental health centers. President Obama talked about this. This is a national issue as well as a state or a county issue. At the national level, have you seen or heard any effort to try to create the kind of system that was promised 30 years ago?
There is one new law that's been proposed in Congress. It's in its very infancy, so I can't tell you how well it is doing, but it is basically supporting a more complete community mental health system, and what's going to get in its way is once again money there as well. But there are efforts at the federal level to try to deal with this issue. I think it's going to take a movement for this to happen. And that's what we're doing at NAMI. Washington right now is putting together a movement. It can't happen just with the commitment of NAMI. It's got to happen with the commitment of every single individual out here standing up and saying, it is time for us to change the way that we're dealing with mental health issues and mental illness issues. And it's time for us to put the money in that's necessary to fix a system that's not just broken, it's a shattered system.
Sandy Ando works on public policy issues for NAMI Washington, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. A bill was introduced in Olympia this week that would allow people to formally petition a court to have a mentally ill family member involuntarily committed. This is The Record. I'm Steve Scherr.